The sermon title for this Sunday is Clouds and Mountains, which seems fairly obvious. There's clouds and mountains, at least alluded to in all of the scriptures. They're not actually put in there by name. In Exodus, we have Moses being called up to a mountain, and the mountain is then covered with cloud. We have the Transfiguration. Then we have Peter remembering Transfiguration, or at least reminding us of it. And I was thinking of clouds and mountains, and, you know, they're magnificent things to look at. There's still some issues with them. Clouds can obscure our view of the sun. It doesn't happen very often, but I'm sure all of us have had those days or been part of those days where the clouds come in and it's suddenly like night. And it's very odd. I don't like it myself. It's so weird, and it makes, you know, so it... The clouds can obscure our view of the sun, but mountains, likewise, can obscure our view of what's ahead. You can't see through a mountain. It's a big thing. It's in the way. It's glorious and obviously very wonderful to look at most of the time. But I'm sure you remember back when Saskatchewan brought out their new license plates, and they were looking for a motto, and Land of Living Skies, I think, is really quite good. Mine was Saskatchewan, no messy mountains to get in the way. I was not at all serious, but I thought it was pretty good anyway. So mountains and clouds are a bit of a mixed bag. In Scripture, we see the cloud is the symbol of the presence of God for the people of Israel. And it gave them shade, which they needed, and they were wandering around in the wilderness. And so it was protected by them. When I was a kid, I always thought the cloud was this little tiny thing. It has to go back to a picture in an illustrated Bible. And it made a shadow about as big as this room. Yeah, and no, it wasn't just there to be seen. It was there to protect the people of Israel, because clouds can also be protective. I mean, all of us have been working in the garden or at a game of some kind. We've just been outside, and it's hot. And this is Saskatchewan. The breeze is hot. And then a cloud covers the sun. You have that moment of just wonderful coolness. So clouds can also do that. And the experience of mountains can be almost overwhelming. It's if you're not used to them, because they're just so big. And there's so many of them. I remember the first time I was in the mountains that I can clearly remember. We were on vacation as a family. I'd been about 11 or 12, I think, right around sort of that age. And we were in Mount Robson Provincial Park. Mount Robson is the tallest mountain in the Canadian Rockies. And yeah, lovely provincial park there. It's very nice. And my older brother and I, for whatever reason at that age, woke up before everybody else. We just walked out and we were wandering around a little bit. And we were looking down in this little valley, and off in the distance, a piper started playing. I've always liked bagpipes. And if I hadn't before, that certainly would have sealed it for me. It was just, it couldn't have been better. My first experience with these enormous things and some pipes to go with it. So it's always a mixed bag. Moses went up onto the mountain. There's the cloud there. The people of Israel went kind of nuts while he was there. Things did not go well. They ended up throwing a bunch of gold into a pile, and according to Aaron, and a calf jumped out, which is one of the worst excuses I've heard ever. I can't believe he would try that on a sibling, let alone anyone, but he did nonetheless. When the mountain transfiguration, we have Peter, who is so sort of beside himself at this extraordinary event that he suggests that maybe they should put up tents so Jesus and the prophets could be there and just, I don't know what, stay there forever. Sometimes we can be sort of surprised by clouds and mountains. I am quite convinced that there's the similarity between Moses in Exodus and Jesus in Matthew are not a coincidence. One is calling the other forth. Any observant Jew, as soon as they heard this story, would have instantly said, ah, that's like Moses. and put Jesus in the line of prophets, if nothing else, that stretched all the way back to Moses, perhaps the greatest prophet, depending on who you asked. So when things are similar, it's worth paying attention to them, and I think we have things to learn from clouds and mountains both. Clouds bring us the rain that we need. We're prairie people, even if we don't live on a farm ever, or certainly not anymore. But we know that rain at the right time is absolutely critical. But too much rain can be just as bad as none. Clouds bring both things. Clouds bring good and not good. Mountains are a little bit less mobile, but they can be a profound barrier to moving around, to getting ahead, to doing what it is that we feel we're called to do. Parts of the railway that went through the mountains when it first went there, the Trans-Canada Railway, in those years, dollars, some of those parts cost $1 million a mile. $1 million a mile is an enormous amount of money now. Imagine what it was like then. The mountain was a barrier that needed to be dealt with, and we did. But human ingenuity managed to make that happen. Human cruelty did it at the cost of the lives of thousands. Clouds and mountains are just a mixed bag. You can't have a tornado without a cloud. But you can't have a garden without clouds either. I like living in the prairies. It's my preferred place to live. When I lived in Vancouver for a year, I felt kind of claustrophobic the whole time, because the only place you could ever see anything of distance, you had to go to the beach and look at the ocean, which was fine enough, but you had to go somewhere and it was still the ocean. It wasn't the same. I like the rolling prairies. I'm amused at people who tell me that it's all flat, because of, you know, it's all flat. If you think it's flat, I just invite you to ride a bicycle. You will soon discover that it is not flat. Parts of it are, but most of it sort of moves around a little bit. But mountains, all they might be is a barrier. They can bring out the very best in us. People climb mountains, not because they get paid to climb mountains, but because it's an opportunity to demonstrate what they can do with the body that God has given them. Metaphorically, we climb mountains. Mountains of health, the waiting for a diagnosis, getting a diagnosis and getting treatment is a mountain. For some people, it's Mount Everest. For some people, it's Kilimanjaro, which you can walk up. It's still work, don't get me wrong. But, you know, it depends on things. We face mountains in our relationships. We have clouds over our thinking. And yet sometimes when we are overheated with passion of one sort or another, we've watched too many Instagram reels, we've spent too much time on the news, and then a cloud comes and cools us off, perhaps in the words of a family member, a friend who says, "Are you sure you need to worry that much about something that far away?" We're not saying stick your head in the sand, but do you need to worry? Does it need to rile you up inside? I like these metaphors of clouds and mountains, because they're extraordinary things. When somebody climbs a mountain, when somebody goes to the top of a mountain, we talk about mountaintop experiences, mostly metaphorical for most of us, but a mountaintop experience is when you arrive at a new way of thinking or a new experience or something, and it seems like your whole world has changed because suddenly you can see so much more, because you suddenly realize that God loves you, not humanity only, but you. Or that special person loves you. That's a mountaintop experience too. Suddenly realize that you are capable, that people who have told you all of your life that no, you can't do that because you're too this or you're too that, and suddenly you achieve it. And you have this glorious experience of expansion. You can see further. You are further. Mountain of Transfiguration opened the eyes of Jesus' disciples in a way that nothing else could have. The mountain that Moses went up provided an opportunity for the people of Israel to demonstrate what it was they were made of, which wasn't the best. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need to find out what we're capable of and realize that what we're capable of is not all that worthwhile. I don't know today what kind of clouds you need. Do you need the clouds that bring rain? Do you need clouds that cool your worry of family or whatever else it is? I don't know what mountains you're facing, whether they are the mountains of, I am ready for this task, I'm going to attack it, I'm going to make whatever it is that I need to do, I'm going to get to the top of this mountain, or whether you're at the base of the mountain looking up and thinking, that's just not possible. There are so many things in Scripture, there are so many things in life that seem to be one or the other in the same thing. It would be nice if we could say a life without clouds would be perfect, but I don't want to live that way. It would be nice to say that a life that never encountered mountains would be nice, but I don't want that either. I don't want to live in the middle of the mountains, but I love being there. I love driving through them and taking the time to get off the side of the road and look and see mountain goats, bighorn sheep, and elk. We were driving through on the way back from our honeymoon, and we stopped at the side of the road because there was this elk that obviously knew he was a good-looking elk. He was a good-looking elk. He was a postcard elk. And he just stood by the side of the road, just looking straight ahead as if we didn't exist. You don't get that here. We get antelope, we get other things, but we need them both. In reality and metaphorically. But the thing we need to remember and that we can never forget is that both of these are temporary. In the midst of the experience of the mountain that you don't want, climbing the mountain out of depression, climbing the mountain of fixing a relationship that you just don't know if you're going to be able to, climbing the mountain of figuring out your place at this time can be really daunting. But it's still only a mountain. You will be able to climb it. The barriers that we face in life are there whether we want them or not. And we're going to use the metaphor of mountains today, but we're going to encounter mountains, even here in the prairies. And the clouds, the same thing. Sometimes the clouds are so low, we can't see anything. And really, what is fog but a cloud that's decided to visit the ground? You remember how foggy it's been this winter. There's been a couple of times when we've driven from, most of the trip from Regina, we've driven about 85 kilometers an hour, which is not bad, but it was that cloudy. The best part about it was we had visibility of, I don't know, maybe 500 meters. Theseus looked it up on his phone, and according to that weather app, the visibility was 17 kilometers. I thought, you'd have to dig a hole to see 17 kilometers. But we go through these things because they're there and because they're part of life. And sometimes these mountains, sometimes the clouds, are all part of these extraordinary experiences that we see in Exodus and we see in Matthew. But often they're a little bit smaller than that, and they're particular to us. It's our mountain, they're our clouds, giving us the glorious view, cooling us from the sun, or perhaps obscuring our way, or just being in the way. But for all of these things, God has said, I will never leave you, ever. And it's not just that we have God to be with us, although, of course, we do. there's also all of the people that we have around us who provide the encouragement, who are there when we need them the most. I'm reminded of the story. I can't, could be true, I don't know. It's good enough, one way or the other, of the little boy who was quite scared. There was a thunderstorm going on, and he called down to his parents, who should have known better, that he wanted. And he said, and their parents said, "Well, Jesus is with you." And his reply was, "I want someone with more skin." So I don't care whether it's true or not. There are days when I want a human being, someone who can give me a hug or occasionally give me a gentle shove to get moving. But the clouds and mountains we face are always there. They come in different shapes and sizes. They come in different degrees of difficulty or degrees of wonder. But I come back always to the I will never be left alone. God will never leave me or forsake me. And I have people in my life, this congregation, family, and others, as do you, who can help us see through the clouds, make it over the mountain, and rejoice with us when we come back with the pictures of what it looks like from up there. Amen.